I've been reading Nigella's new book, and I think I've got this domestic goddess business worked out. Jeeves is busy in the study polishing Gerald's riding shoes. Maisie's in the scullery preparing the vegetables. Mrs. Bojangles is slaving away over the roast partridges, and the twins are, of course, away at boarding school now that they've turned three. So that means I've got plenty of time to slip into something more comfortable, pour myself a large glass of sherry, put my feet up and introduce you all to the second Hot Potato Nights podcast. Honestly, I don't know what all the fuss is about with this housekeeping business. Chin chin.
Let me take you to Hot Potato Nights. Everything will be all right. Don't be worried. No, don't put up a fight. Don't put up a fight. Just let me take you to my Hot Potato Nights. Ah.
It's Hot Potato Nights. It's the same as Baywatch Nights. It's the same. And now, please welcome your hosts, a potato and another potato at night.
Welcome one, welcome all to the latest Hot Potatoes podcast, the first of 2012.
Is it hello? Me?
Yes, hello.
Hello there. Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
As promised, this is the Christmas 2010 Hot Potatoes Nights that we didn't do.
No, this is the first of 2012 because we did one, I think, exactly 2 weeks ago, was it?
Something like that. Yeah, I think so. We did one of those video things with Nick and his potatoes. Hello, Mr. Nickers.
They're very very effective, those.
They are, yeah. The way that he refuses to buy any more potatoes, and therefore most of the potato videos are going to be done with rotten old potatoes with all knobbly bits hanging off of them.
Well, that's sort of apt, really, isn't it, considering our faces?
I suppose so, yeah. We're not the handsomest of people.
So, new year, new danger. How are you enjoying 2012?
I'm enjoying it immensely. I'm certainly enjoying it a lot more than Christmas, which I despised.
Well, I thought you were quite a fan of Christmas.
I am a fan of Christmas usually, but this year, no, didn't like it. It went on too long. I think maybe having the adverts. The adverts this year were particularly horrendous, I thought. Especially that Littlewoods one, where Mum spends about £6 billion and she organises the whole of Christmas.
The ones with little children breaking the whole news about Santa.
Yeah, that was a one. I hated that, and I hated the thing with Jamie Oliver, as per usual. The John Lewis thing with the present, didn't like that. Didn't like any of it, really. And it went on forever, and, well, you know, the usual. And now, of course, we're into New Year's, aren't we? What happens at New Year's?
You make resolutions.
You make New Year's resolutions. Indeed you do. Have you made any this year?
I've made a ton of them.
Do you want to read them out?
I haven't written them down. They're all in my head.
Right, well, go on.
Well, firstly, a new haircut for every month.
Hold on. New haircut for every... Right.
Is that all right?
Yep, that's fine.
I'm going with a bowl at the moment.
You're going for a bowl haircut? What, like the monkeys?
You remember bowl haircuts?
I remember. I used to have a bowl haircut.
Did it suit you?
Well, do you remember you've got a photograph of me round at your house when I'm about 13 years old and I'm really fat?
Yeah, not much has changed.
I had a bit of a bowl haircut there.
You're not 13 anymore, but I'm still quite fat.
What do you mean I'm still quite fat?
Well, you're a fatty.
I'm not a fatty. You're a fatty. You're a fatty. You got big fat cheeks and you got clown feet.
Whatever, fatso. So what's your first New Year's resolution?
Well, I've got a whole list here. I'd rather, actually, I could just go through them and you didn't interrupt me.
I'm not interrupting, correct?
Right, here we go. Here are my New Year's resolutions. Number one, invade Poland. Number two, deport all non-desirables from the Greater German Reich. Number three, take revenge for the Treaty of Versailles. Number four, bomb London. Number five, defeat France, Belgium and the Low Countries. Number six, attack the Soviet Union. And number seven, eat more fresh fruit and vegetables.
How do you think the Soviet Union part of that's going to pan out?
It might not go very well, because it's a big place and there's only me.
Yeah, you're going to be fighting on a couple of fronts by that point.
I'm going to be fighting on several fronts. I mean, what I'm hoping is that I can get an arm implanted into my back so I can hold a gun backwards.
Three arms.
Me against the Soviet Union.
Just you.
Yeah, just me. I mean, so far, none of these are going well, apart from the fruit and vegetables business. That's going fine.
Well, that's what matters, isn't it, really?
It is, yeah, as long as I'm getting my four a day.
Yeah, I mean, what's Stalingrad like in December?
Stalingrad is quite cold. It's not called Stalingrad anymore. They changed the name.
What are they calling it these days, then?
It's called
I prefer Stalingrad.
Yeah, it's a much catchier name, wasn't it? Plus, it's named after a great guy.
Yeah, he was all right, actually, Stalin, wasn't he?
He was all right, yeah. I don't know what all the fuss was about. He had a nice moustache. He was all right with kids. Well, not all kids. But no, he was all right, you know.
Am I thinking of the same Stalin? He didn't have a moustache, did he?
Oh, no, you might be thinking of a different Stalin.
Actually, I might be thinking of Dustin G.
Oh, no, he was nice, yeah. Sadly died when he was at the height of his fame, doing a show on BBC One with Les Dennis.
But happily, Les moved on to family fortune, so it wasn't so bad for Les.
And then insanity.
Yeah, absolute rampant insanity.
Insanity to the extent that... I mean, I never thought I would live in a world where both Keith Chegwin and Les Dennis got their penises out on television.
Did we... Who was the first one?
Keith Chegwin.
Oh, yeah, I've seen his member.
Did you see that nude quiz show that he did, where everybody was nude, including Cheggers?
Yeah, it didn't get a series, did it?
It didn't, no, did it, unfortunately. Well, fortunately. Horrible. Anyway, what's your... any more? You got any more?
Actually, I've run out. That was it.
Well, your only New Year's resolution is to get a new haircut every month.
Well, it's quite hard work. Have you ever given yourself a mop... A bowl haircut?
I tried giving myself a haircut once, drunk. The man at the barber's, when I went in there the next day, I pretty much ran in there and went, "Help, this is an emergency." And what the hell have you done here? He says, "There's an old ear that's to the bone, mate. This isn't going to grow out. This is terrible."
You know. So 2012 for us is basically going to involve mimicking Hitler and cutting our own hair.
Pretty much. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! You old fart.
I'm not an old fart. Just because I'm 4 or 5 years older than you are, I'm not an old fart. And yet, anyway, you're not young anymore, so before you start, because you're 32 years old, which means you're 3 years off the legal cut-off point for wearing a miniskirt.
What? What?
Yes. I read today in a newspaper I will not name that you get until the age of 35 where you can still wear a miniskirt and get away with it. But after that, it's a no-no.
Well, firstly, I'm male. I don't wear miniskirts.
Who says you don't wear miniskirts?
Well, me.
Can you prove that?
Well, have you got any photographs of me in a miniskirt?
Admittedly, I haven't got any photographs of you in a miniskirt. I will trawl through Facebook, though, just in case.
Well, there's bound to be some of me out there actually thinking about it.
Yeah, I bet you've gone somewhere dressed as a woman.
I don't think I have, actually. Have you ever dressed as a lady?
I did do for a pantomime.
Right.
But no, because I don't get invited to parties.
No, me neither, actually.
No, I'm not a party person. I've been to a few parties... I've spoiled the party for everybody else.
You're a party pooper.
I'm a party pooper, yeah. I don't like parties. So, yeah, fancy dress parties, all those. No, I've no reason or excuse to walk around dressed as a woman.
And,
whereas the youth of today, I've noticed, walk around dressed as women all the time.
All of them do.
They wear eyeliner. What else do women wear?
Sleeveless tops.
Clothes?
Yes.
Yes, and they speak... So, well, what do they speak?
Well, as we and the good people at Coca-Cola recognise...
That was a segue.
Yes, and I've started my speech too early.
Right, OK. Do you want to do your speech?
I'll do my speech.
Don't worry about this. We can edit this out.
Yeah, we'll edit this out. Right. Shut up.
Do you want me to go to the segue again?
Shh. Yeah, do the segue.
Segue.
The ungodly combination of reality television, internet commentary, and free-to-stream online smut has combined to make our youth completely incomprehensible. But as we and the good people at Coca-Cola recognise, children are our future, so it falls to us to learn their new ways and to adapt. Now let us, Mr. Potato, attempt to learn and assimilate this new lexicon into our own vernacular. Did that make any sense to you?
That did make sense to me. I mean, what you're saying there essentially is that young people talk babbling crap and we don't understand it. But let's try, in the spirit of solidarity, because, I mean, let's face it, they are going to be the ones that are wiping our bums when we're in nursing homes, to understand what they're saying.
Yeah, well, I've got a few of their sayings kind of implanted in my head, and I'm trying to use them in day-to-day speech as much as possible.
Do you want to run through them, and we'll see what they are?
I was trying to do it in context, but it's really quite difficult.
Well, I mean, I don't know youth speak. I know the youth speak of my youth, obviously, but if I was to say to a young person today, you see that over there, that's both bodacious and skill, he wouldn't know what I was on about.
Well, first you'd have to say watcher.
What? Yeah, watcher, you arsehole. That over there, that thing, is bad, it's skill, and it's bodacious, and it's wicked.
Yeah, well, in these days of futurism, you...
What would that thing over there be?
It would be Dench.
Dench? What, as in Judy Dench?
Yeah, as in Dame Judy Dench. It's well...
Is that where Dench comes from?
Yeah, it's well Dench, as in Dame Judy Dench.
As in Dame Judy Dench, yes.
It's particularly ream.
Ream?
Ream.
What, as in a ream of A4?
No, I think it's more like D-ream.
So it's not a ream of A4?
No, it's more like things can only get better, you know.
D-ream, with, of course, everybody's favourite science boffin, Dr. Magnus Pike.
It's not my favourite science boffin.
Why, who's your favourite science boffin?
I don't have one, but I think that one that you're talking about, Coxie, I think...
Dr. Magnus Pike.
He's a space devil, isn't he?
He's not a space devil. There's no such thing as a space devil.
How do you know?
Because I've been to space and I didn't see any devils up there.
You haven't been to space.
Moving on.
Sorry, moving on.
So we've got Ream, which is named after D. Ream, and Dench, which is named after Judy Dench. They're all things that mean something's great. Isn't sick something that means good?
Are you from the 1980s?
Man, that's sick.
Get with it.
That's sick. I've heard people say something's sick.
SMH, SMH.
Right, hold on. Whoa, SMH.
Oh, sorry, that was a natural bit of you speak. I was shaking my head at you.
Is that sitting on my hands?
Oh, KMT.
KMT, you've lost me again. I don't know what any of this is.
I'm kissing my teeth.
You're kissing your teeth. Why are you kissing your teeth? Nobody kisses their teeth.
Yes, they do.
How do you kiss your teeth?
You go like this. Mm.
Yeah, but that's just kissing. That's just... I can't kiss... I can't kiss my teeth.
SMH.
SMH, what's that mean?
Shaking my head.
Right, well, I think we've established that.
Amazeballs.
So, say if I was to say to you, you're a young person, say you're about, what, 20, so that probably means you've got an awful haircut, NHS spectacles, bright red trousers, little pumps, and a green top of some description. You look like an idiot.
They've all got red trousers, haven't they? They've all got bright red trousers.
Really thin red trousers, which shows off their unmanly thin legs.
Mm.
Yes. So anyway, that's you. You probably got, I don't know, a dog on a string or something. Mm. What would you have on a string?
A balloon.
Yeah, and there you go. That's idiosyncratic. Well done. You've got a balloon on a string. Congratulations. So I come up to you and say, I say, young person, could you tell me the way? So I'm in London. Could you tell me the way to the big gallery?
Epic fail. Amazeballs. I would love to do that for you. It's totes obf. But if you don't want to get ridic lost, then go over there.
What the bloody hell are you talking about?
Fail.
Get your bloody hair cut! I don't actually think that we're ever going to get on with the young people of this country.
Why not?
Because they're idiots.
Can you tell what it is yet?
Shall I just go into the speech?
Ooh, hang on. What?
Shall I just go into my speech, or...?
This is professional, isn't it? I was just about to go, ooh, it's steamy in here.
Hot Potatoes Nights.
Hot Potato Nights. Hang on. So anyway, what was the next topic?
In these hard economic times of relentless austerity, and with the big picture looking still more bleak as you gaze upon it in your second-hand clothes, buttons...
Are you just going into the speech, then?
Yeah, am I not meant to do that?
Yeah, go on, bang on.
Right. Thanks for that. In these hard economic times of relentless austerity, and with the big picture looking still more bleak as you gaze upon it in your second-hand clothes, buttons dangling on a frayed thread, it seems like the ideal time to ponder your ideal job. Let's take this double-dip depression as an opportunity to scan our CVs and our ambitions and come up with our ideal jobs. And then we can make a start on achieving our career goals by sending threats to employers until they'll take us on.
Lovely. Well, that all sounds very nice. Yeah. So what we're doing is we're essentially saying what our ideal jobs would be and how we would achieve those jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big one, this, because it could be anything, couldn't it? Astronaut, seafarer... an astronaut.
Well, you have to be quite realistic. I don't think astronaut's ever going to happen for you.
I'm very realistic. I know I'm never going to be an astronaut. Anyway, as I've already said, I've been into space.
You haven't been into space.
I have. You can't prove I haven't. Have you got any photographs of me not in space?
What, were you in space in your head on drugs, were you?
No, I wasn't in space in my head. I was in space. I was up there with Challenger.
Isn't that the one that exploded?
No.
Right, less said about the better, I think.
What is your first ideal job?
A sellotape technician.
A sellotape technician? What the bloody hell's that?
Well, it's a consultancy position. It would involve going around offices, and you know rolls of sellotape where you can't find the...
sellotape?
The end of the sellotape.
Your job... What you're saying is your job is you'd be the one that picked up the end of the sellotape and got it running again.
This is observational comedy, this.
Right, I see.
So that would be my job. Also, where...
You'd have very sore fingers.
No, I'd be fine because I'm very good at it. It's a skill I've picked up along the way.
Well, yeah, but I mean, would you need to use some sort of special sellotape release tool?
No, it's all dexterous. It's all hand work.
I mean, I think that job would get boring after a while.
Well, yeah, but it's quite well paid, so...
Is it? Well, who says it's well paid?
Well, I invented it, so I can invent the salary.
You invented the job, so what's the salary? What's the starting salary of a sellotape technician?
I would be on £16,000 per year plus benefits.
That's rubbish money.
That's all right. That's not bad.
It's rubbish. That's rubbish money. In London, where you live, yeah. What can that buy you?
Well, you pay the rent, wouldn't you, for a start?
Yeah, and that's it. Well, you'd have to eat your own skin to survive.
Well, I only eat crisps anyway.
Oh, well, you're all right then. Right, do you want my first job?
Yes, please.
Working in an NCP car park.
NCP, they're the big boys, aren't they?
They're the big boys. They're the big guns. I mean, if you want to go for... I don't want one of these small outfits, which is just a bald bloke who keeps cropping up on Watchdog and Rogue Traders. None of that. I want to work for the big guns. And the biggest guns of the lot in the car park game are NCP.
So let me get this straight.
Yep.
You're in an NCP car park. You're wearing a very small outfit. How small is the outfit?
No, I'm wearing a high visibility vest with NCP car parks written on the back.
Okay, do you have
a
hat?
I'm in a booth.
Hat?
I'm wearing a hat. I'm wearing a small woolly hat. I'm wearing a pair of cheap combat trousers. I've got a copy of Razzle stuffed in my back pocket. I'm smoking Lambert and Butler cigarettes. And yeah, I'm just having a great time.
What are you having?
In my booth. In my booth.
How are you having a great time? Is it the booth that's making it great? Or?
I'm in my booth, mate. I've got a rank of cameras.
Right.
I've got my Razzle. I've got my cigarettes. I've got nothing to do because the car park's automated. So essentially, you know those car parks where you come in, you get a ticket from the machine. You when you go back, you put your ticket in the machine, you pay your money, gives you another ticket to get out. I don't feature in this transaction at all. I'm only there as a car park troubleshooter.
Well, you see, I think you're surplus to requirements, my friend.
I'm not, because there's always a man there in case the barrier breaks, in case there's some kind of problem with a machine, in case somebody lays, you know, a Titanic-sized turd in the gents' toilet and I have to deal with it. Muggins here has to deal with it because it's not getting round the U-bend. All of that is my responsibility. I've got a lot on my plate.
Well, we've got a lot of these to get through. So just to clear this one up, your surplus to requirements, there's a notice of redundancy on your... Well, you don't have a desk in your booth.
I do have a desk. I've got a desk in front of my rank of cameras.
You're fired. Right. My next job would be Chief of Directions, Pedestrian Access Only.
Chief of Directions, Pedestrian Access Only? What's that mean?
I don't know, but when I'm out on the street, usually in the evenings, looking for business...
Right, because you're a prostitute.
Well, that's an unkind name for it. But,
Yeah, well, in the namby-pamby, Guardian-reading, left-wing world. What do we call them now, then? What do we call you lot now, working girls?
Let's not veer into politics. Right. Anyway, the point is, whenever I'm out in the real world, people always slow down, open their windows and ask me the directions to places, and I don't know why.
So your job, essentially, what you're saying is standing on a street corner giving people directions, random people who are looking for somewhere to go.
Well, as I say, it's a real world skill, which I already have. I might as well get some money out of it.
Right, okay, say I'm on... Give me a street in London.
Shacklewell Lane.
Give me one I've heard of.
Mayfair.
You're on Mayfair. I'm on Mayfair. I'm driving down... Can you drive down Mayfair?
Yeah, I imagine you can.
I only know Mayfair from Monopoly. I've always assumed I wasn't allowed to walk down Mayfair because I'm not rich enough.
Right, let's say Tottenham Court Road.
Right, you're on Tottenham Court Road. I'm on Tottenham Court Road. What, are you buying electrical equipment?
Yeah, I've just walked out of an electrical equipment boutique, yeah.
Right, and I'm not looking... I'm looking for Oxford Street.
No problem, sir. No problem, sir. You see that Freddie Mercury statue over there?
No.
Well, go along a bit, you'll find it, and then turn left, you'll be on Oxford Street, except you can't turn left, because, well, I think it's a one-way street, so, sorry, I'm pedestrian access only, so this is outside of my remit.
Right, so, have I lost there?
Yeah, you've lost out in this one, sorry.
Right, okay, and what do you get for this?
£16,000 per annum.
£16,000, that's big money.
How much did you get for your NCP job?
For my NCP car park job, I get paid £37,000 a year.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you know, them's the breaks. Do you want my next job?
Please.
Security guard, late night.
Well, that's the same thing as NCP.
It's not the same thing because it has a completely different remit. One, I have to look after a dog. Two, there is a possibility of lead or copper theft. So essentially, I'm like a policeman, right?
You're a precious metals policeman.
I'm a precious metals policeman. I've got. I'm in sole charge of a dog, which is another soul. Mm. So I'm like a vicar for dogs. I've got a torch. I've got responsibility for. I've got a whole outside area to patrol. This is in no way like an NCP car park man.
I don't know. I think the torch and the dog is too much responsibility for you.
How dare you? I can look after a torch and a dog at the same time.
Yeah, the torch will end up in the dog somehow.
The torch won't end up in the dog. I'm not going to feed a dog a torch. You feed a dog chip. No, not chips, sandwiches.
See, you don't know. You stumbled over that one.
No. Anyway, the point is, I'd be fine with a dog, and there's me and the dog, and that'd be great, that.
What's the remuneration for that one?
The remuneration for that job is £46,000.
Christ, that's never going to happen.
Why is it not going to happen? There's a firm of solicitors down the road from me. I don't want to give away my location too much, so if anybody's been piecing together clues as to my location because they want to eat my lips, ignore what I've just said, all right?
I think that's...
There's not a firm of solicitors just down the road, but there is.
That's more money than the Prime Minister earns, I should imagine.
No, it's not. The Prime Minister is on at least £50,000 a year, at least.
So you still is contemporary.
I'm not as contemporary because I'm £4,000 down.
Fair dues.
Right, so there you go. That's my next one. What's your next one?
Telltale tit.
A telltale tit?
Yes.
What's this?
Well, nobody likes a grass, but someone's got to do the job, haven't they?
We both watch EastEnders, and one of the things we both know from watching that show is that nobody likes a grass.
No one likes a grass, but it's a dirty job. Someone's got to do it, and I've got the skills to pay the bills, and it's a very healthy salary for that one.
So you're going to be a professional grass? You're going to tell on people? What, gangland, EastEnd, gangland, gangsters?
It's a telltale tit.
So, say you know Big Ronnie Sideburns and Fat Billy Beef Burgers.
Yeah.
They're the two local bigwigs in the... where do you live? Shitney? Shortnitch?
I live just down the road from a firm of solicitors.
Wickton Bumps?
Yeah, I live in Wickton Bumps, yeah.
Right, well, yeah, so they're the big gangsters on Wickton Bungst his manor.
Mm.
And there's, you know, you heard of a blag that's going down.
Yep.
Say it's going down next Friday. There's a big blag, a post office blag going down. And you've overheard it in the dog and farting onion.
Mm.
And what are you going to do?
Well, I act as an intermediary in this position. It's a consultative role, really. So I'll go
it's
over
another
to
another consulting job.
Yeah.
Right. You'll go to what? You'll go to Lenny the Fence.
Well, I'll act as an intermediary between the 5-0, the Feds.
The Feds.
And Billy Beef Burgers.
And Billy Beef Burgers. So where does Lenny the Fence come in?
Well, Lenny the Fence already paid me off, so.
Yeah, right, he's a canny one, that Lenny the Fence. And what does this pay?
Well, it depends on the role. It's what's the word? Pro rata.
Pro rata. So what we're talking about, you're probably going to bring in about 16 grand.
That's pushing it, but hopefully, yeah.
All right, I'll write that down. Now then, my next job, collecting change on a funfair ride, such as on the waltzers, the ghost train, the crazy house, or that spinning thing that kills people.
Well, you're not swarthy enough for that, are you?
I am swarthy enough. People who've never seen me. I've got bad teeth. I've got bad hair. I've got a slightly olivey complexion, mixed in with green. I wear awful clothes. I smell a bit. And yeah, I'll be fine for that job.
I think we're being disrespectful to the travelling community now, aren't we?
I'm not being disrespectful to the travelling community because, for one, I'd be a part of the travelling community and I'd be a member of that travelling community they all thought was a bit smelly and horrible.
And you'd be proud, so it wouldn't matter, would it?
I'd be proud of that, yeah. I'd be proud of it. As I'm chatting up the teenage girls whilst taking their money on the waltzers and they're all going, oh, gee, he stinks, doesn't he? I'll be, yeah, oh, girls, like that. I won't mind.
Right, shall we move on?
No, because I want this discussed.
Have you got tattoos on your hands?
I've got tattoos on my hands, but the thing is, I don't actually want to be that guy that collects the money on the waltzers. I want to be in a booth.
Well, they do have booths on the waltzers, so...
They do. I mean, some of them have booths, and some of them have a guy going around collecting money. Now, I'd rather, on anything such as the waltzers or the ghost train, or that mountain train thing, that they have that's a bit crap.
Mm.
I want to be the guy in the booth collecting the pounds, £2 coins.
Will you settle for a kiosk?
I'd go for a kiosk, yeah. As long as I'm not duly having to dole out candy floss and popcorn.
Julie?
Julie.
Is that your name, Julie?
Julie, my name's not Julie. I'm not called Julie working in a booth. That's not my ambition. This isn't written down here.
Remuneration for this one?
Remuneration, we are talking about at least 20p a year.
Yeah, and lodgings.
I get my own caravan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not all shit. I have to share with the dogs.
Yeah.
But as I've proved in my last job as a security guard, I can look after dogs.
Well, it'd be a big step up for you. I'm not sure if you're ready for it.
Well, I am ready for it, so... No.
So then I said, unexpected item in bagging area, and everybody laughed.
I'd just like to say, before we get into the final part of the Hot Potatoes, Hot Potato Nights podcast, that my final choice was actually hitting a bear attached to a stick in the Ukraine. So anyway, should we move on?
Yes. Okay. Bust a move, throw shapes, cut the rug. All terms to describe the act of dancing. An ancient fertility rite whereby potential lovers can prove their prowess to one another without having to drop their garments or unravel their particulars. Dancing is as important as breathing, eating, jumping, or going to the toilet these days, and everybody's at it. When he's not ruining everything for everyone, David Cameron's a dab hand at the mashed potato. The Archbishop of Canterbury does a mean big fish, little fish cardboard box, and the Dalai Lama apparently body pops like a bugger. What are your special moves, and what are your dancing credentials?
I would like to say there that David Cameron's not ruining it for my mother. She's happy as a pig in shit at the moment.
Is she really?
She is, yeah. Tory, loves it.
I don't want to get into politics.
Fair dues, but I'm just saying, he's not ruining it for everyone.
Well...
Because there's my mum, he's not taking her into account.
I'm not going to even ponder on that.
Well, A bit of politics. Anyway, dancing.
Any credentials? Any dancing credentials?
Have you ever heard that song? I wonder why he's the greatest dancer.
It's not
that
about you.
It was written about me.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. It was written about me. It was back in the 1970s when I was nobbed a boy.
Yeah.
And I was at my auntie's wedding in a very nice three-piece beige corduroy suit with flared trousers and a lovely red collar which came all the way up to my shoulders. I was busting a move on the dance floor, and the person who wrote that song, I wonder why he's the greatest dancer, came along, saw me dancing, and thought, he is the greatest dancer, I'm writing a song about him.
I'm just trying to find a release date for that single.
Okay.
When were you born again?
1975.
So you were 3 years old.
I was 3 years old, yes! I was 3 years old, I win!
Well, no, because you weren't the greatest dancer at 3 years old.
Yeah, I was. There was footage of me on a television programme, actually, a dancing programme. It's called You've Been Framed. I was on that.
No, you weren't.
I was. It was on You've Been Framed.
What, so they had video cameras in 1978 for home
yeah,
use?
They had video cameras in 1978. If you write 1978 JVC video camera, you'll have one come up. What do you think they filmed things with?
It would have cost a fortune in the 70s.
They made dirty films.
Yeah, but they used film in the 70s.
No, they used dirty films.
It was the 80s when VHS came big.
Well, because you've seen Boogie Nights, therefore you're an expert on porno film techniques.
That's not the only reason I'm an expert on that.
Well, admittedly, we're all sort of experts on that kind of thing.
My credentials. My credentials.
Go on, then.
Came second in the Heckington C of E School Infants Disco Breakdancing Contest, which technically makes me a B-boy.
I can't argue with that.
Good.
I know quite a lot about breakdancing because I wrote Breakdance the Movie. Did you, when you were doing your breakdancing, did you spin on your head and then fall over and spin round on your back?
I did all kinds of stuff. I did the outlaw step, the Latin rock, the hip twist, the four corners.
All of them. I've mentioned all of them.
The Apache step.
Did you do that one where you pretend you're a robot?
The belly swim.
No, the robot.
The coffee grinder.
Did you do the robot one?
Oh, the robot. Yeah, I did the robot one, yeah.
You did the robot one. That was always my favourite one because that's the only breakdancing thing that anybody could actually do.
Right. Well, I was still in the Lotus Air Baby position when they announced I was second. I couldn't believe it. Only second.
You see, I lived in this near this village, Heckington, which to listeners who probably don't know anything about Lincolnshire apart from there's some vague thing about incest. Heckington was just down the road from where I lived and indeed where you lived. And I don't remember a Heckington Junior breakdancing competition taking place ever.
Well, you didn't go to Heckington School, did you?
No, I didn't, but I mean, did they breakdance in Lincolnshire in the 1980s?
Yes, of course they did. They breakdanced everywhere.
Well, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt here, but that still doesn't take away the fact that I'm the greatest dancer! Because I was actually called that in the 1970s, 1978, actually, now I remember.
I find it hard to believe that song's about you at 3 years old.
Have you ever danced with a lady?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
Of course I have.
Have you?
Ladies love my moves.
Did you make a
moves.
Bloody fool of yourself?
No, they love my moves.
What do you mean they love your move? What, were you dancing like George Michael, were you?
Well, not quite so suggestively, but if a chick sees me doing a hang glide or a turtle freeze, they tend to collapse.
The Charleston?
Could be the smell, thinking about it.
What about that one where you put your hands on your knees and then you move your knees inwards and outwards and it looks like your hands are transferring from one knee to the next?
No, that's too complex for me.
So you've never stood in front of a woman on a dance floor and gone, look at this. Imagine the hands.
That's too complex for me.
Imagine the hands. You've not done that.
What was the tune there?
Well, it was just a tune, wasn't it? It was a very popular tune back in my dancing days.
Right, well, are you able to do that?
Yeah, I can do that. I can do. There's lots of dances I can do. I can do the mashed potatoes.
Right.
I can do the one where you move your arms in and out, and I can do the John Travolta.
Right, actually, it sounds like you're probably a little bit more advanced than me.
I'm disco, mate. I'm disco.
You're the greatest dancer.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Vladimir Putin, Vlad, yeah, he's a mate of mine. Nicolas Sarkozy, Little Nicky, oh, he's a terror. Oh, he's a mate of mine, yeah. Giles Brandreth, more of an acquaintance.
Mein Gott!
Sorry?
That was German, that.
Yeah, so, how are you doing?
I'm all right, yeah, I'm fine. Are you still thinking of changing your name to Hildebrand?
No, that's not on the cards anymore, no.
All right, well, I'm glad about that, because I really didn't fancy calling you Hildebrand Potato from now on.
I've been meaning to ask, are you all right?
I'm not, no.
Right, what's up? You seemed very uptight recently.
I have been very uptight. I've been very uptight because my trousers don't fit me anymore. I've got rather fat. So the blood is not getting reaching my legs anymore.
Well, why don't you get some new...
Because it's been obstructed by both trousers and stomach.
New trousers might be an option.
I'm not buying any new trousers.
Why don't you just undo the current ones?
No, I'm refusing to do that. I, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to be a size 32 waist until I die. And the way it's going at the moment, with the circulatory problems that the trousers are now giving me, you're talking 6 months at the very most.
So you're telling me the reason you've been a bad-tempered, curmudgeon, cantankerous old soul is because you can't be bothered to buy some new trousers?
Because my trousers don't fit me anymore.
Right, so in your head, you're 32. In the physical world, what waist size are you?
In the physical world, I would say I'm at least a 48 waist.
And you're still wearing 32 trousers.
Size 32 trousers. So, I mean, if you can imagine... Do you remember those Stretch Armstrongs that you used to get in the olden days?
Yes, I do remember, yes.
Yeah, well, if you imagine squeezing one of those and his head bursting, that's a bit of what I look like now.
Well, I suppose your belt acts kind of as a corset, so really you've got quite a nice waist-to-bottom ratio.
I've got a good contour going, but unfortunately there's a mass. It's like a tumour in the middle.
Oof.
It's like I've swallowed a bell.
There's no coming back from using the word tumour, really, is there?
There is. There's loads of ways of coming back from tumour. For instance, if I was a doctor and you were a patient with a tumour, do you want to be that a minute?
You said it again.
Well, just for now,
yep.
Hang on. You've got a tumour, I'm a doctor. Knock on my doctor's door. Wait your turn! Come in.
Hello, doctor.
Hello there, sit down.
Thank you.
Your tumour's cured.
Hooray.
Hey, see, there is coming back from it.
Oh, thank God for that.
There you go, so you're all right now. You're not going to die, Hildebrand.
But are you all right?
I'm all right, Hildebrand, thanks.
All right, so we've sorted out your problem and mine.
Yes, yeah, so onwards into 2011.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year and goodbye.
Bye.
Oh.
Teddy bye, Teddy bye, from the Hot Potatoes people, it's time to say goodbye. Teddy bye, Teddy bye, now it's time for me to sing a lullaby. Go to sleep, la 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 la. Go to sleep, la 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 la. Teddy bye, Teddy bye, it's time for all of us to say goodbye. Teddy bye, Teddy bye, goodbye from all of us, goodbye, goodbye.
You have been listening to the Hot Potato Nights podcast. I've been the posh-voiced woman, Julia Blythe. Nick Nick has provided something useful, I have no doubt about that. And it says here, two urchins called Liam Tucker and BP Perry capered about like a couple of gargoyles in the background getting in everyone's way. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I'm going to enjoy my slap-up partridge and winter vegetable dinner. And I hope you'll join us next time for more hot potatoes, fun and games. Keep your chin up, Britain, and good night. Oh, and my ideal job is, of course, the Queen.